Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Midweek Motivation. Today, God is merciful, and praise God that He is. We've been talking about God is holy, God is loving, God is good, God is just, and today we get to sit in God is merciful. Now, you can't talk about God's mercy without reminding ourselves about God's grace and justice. And we talked about this last week, but just as a quick reminder, grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And justice is getting what we deserve by the fairness aligned perfectly with His holiness. So it's not a consequence. It's just the idea that clearly this is God's design for us and our life. And one of the things we're going to talk about and sit in today is that so often we see blessings. Oh, we've done something good. Consequence, trial, situation that causes some angst. Oh, what did we do wrong? And so we're going to clarify and discuss that a lot more today, that we have to quit trying to keep score of God, and we have to totally stop and quit keeping score with ourselves and what we earn favor with God, which is not possible. So that's some of the things we're going to discuss. But let's start just by being in the Word of God, first and foremost. So I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy. And let's look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that He swore to them. All right, let's look at another one in 1 Peter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you hear that? What in the world do we have to be worried about? We should just be worshiping Him and walking worthy until the reward and the revival and the glory of eternity. What do we have to be worried about? Let's listen to that again, because I just get so excited reading about it. 1 Peter, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you hear it? We have been given, and what is being kept for us is so beyond our imagination of how gloriously wonderful it is. Don't worry and don't grieve and don't waste time and energy and anxiety and your mind and your emotions on various trials. Those are simply testing our genuineness. It is simply a way for God to strengthen our faith. First and foremost, make sure we have one. Second, strengthen it. And it's like firing us, which is more precious than what happens to elements, so that we may be found in praise and glory and honor of Jesus. Is it worth it? Bottom line, is it worth it? That's the question you have to ask yourself. That's the question you have to decide. Is eternity worth it? If you've punched your ticket by asking Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, don't just put your ticket away. For sure, don't tear your ticket up. Don't lose your ticket. Don't forget about your ticket. Don't just say, well, I asked him into my heart. No. Stay, remain steady, faithful, genuine. Walk through those flaming fires of your trials of your life. Hold your head high. Point people to God as you're in them. You can talk about them when you get out of them. You can talk about them before you get into them. But for sure, talk about God while you're in them. Lead others to Him while you're in the midst of one. Because your testimony and your story is even grander in the fact that your energy is not being wasted on complaining or being distraught or being in turmoil, that your energy is saying, I don't know why I'm here and I don't know what God's doing, but I'm so excited about it because I trust Him explicitly. I trust Him through this. And that's how others are amazed, is that when you can still be overwhelmed by joy and still have abundant peace in the middle of a trial. Because that proves that your priority is that you believe and trust in God more than yourself, more than the world, more than what others may deem as a blessing or a curse. You're saying, no. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But this is God's design for me. This is His giving me something I don't deserve and not giving me something that I do. We don't have the mind of Christ. We don't have the vision and the vantage of God. He does. So, in 1 Peter, let's read down a little bit more. Here's His call to us to be holy. Remember the first and foremost thing that we have to figure out in our own minds is that God is holy. He is not on the same playing field as us. We will never be able to understand His holiness. We just have to trust it, believe it, read His word, study it, obey it. But we can attempt to have a holier vantage and reaction than we do a human one. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that you will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former self, but be called to be holy. You should be holy because He is holy. And verse 16, you shall be holy for I am holy. Let's look in Revelations. Revelations chapter 6. In this chapter, it's talking about God's wrath. And Charles Swindoll writes, I am reminded that there is a divine balance. Today, we love to talk about God's mercy and grace and His love and His forgiveness, but we should also be very clear that He is just. God's arms have been open and are still open, but there will be a judgment. And in Revelations, we have to recognize His just vengeance on those who are not righteous or seeking to live righteous lives. There are limitations on what we can do. We will be judged, and on that day of judgment, there will be a receiving of what we have done while we are here on earth. There will be torment. There will be helplessness for those who did not choose to ask Jesus Christ into their hearts. Now, how can we come to terms with such extensive judgment? What do we say? How do we think about it? If you are a Christian, you can give God great praise for his deliverance. Not only did he deliver you by his authority and the power over sin by the death and bloodshed on the cross of his son, but he also promises deliverance in the treachery of the end times. So yes, we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and we're going to remain with him forever. Now, this is Paulette speaking. Sometimes I think we forget that there is time between when we ask Jesus Christ into our heart and we go and meet with God and Jesus again in heaven. We somewhat are wandering, reminds me of the Israelites, and we are wasting our worship and our platform and our purpose and our integrity and our soul searching for righteousness and our reading of the word and of us walking that word out. It's like we know we have Jesus as our Savior and we know we have a promise to live with them in eternity. But it's like sometimes if we are not careful, we are just wandering almost aimlessly, or we're trying to do good things, but we're lost and we're not sure, and we want it to almost be an easier strobe lit path. But what we all must realize is instead of worrying about if I do something right so I can get a blessing, or if something happens as a trial, I must have done something wrong. Where did I go wrong? Lord, please help me. That he is just inviting us over and over and over again to realize that he, his son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that deity, is the only bridge between humanity and heaven. Those three, God, the Son, and the Spirit, are the only bridge between humanity and heaven. In his name only is there forgiveness of sin. In his name only is there a deliverance from eternal judgment. And in his name only can we walk the way of the faithful and the righteous. So how do we do that? What does that truly look like? I don't know exactly how it looks for you, but all I can say is how I have learned to diminish the chaos, decrease the stress, and increase my abundant peace and overwhelming joy. And I do that from the get-go of my morning. God, I give you this day. And when, as early as possible in the morning, I get into his word, I read it, I study it, I pray it, I claim it, I'm passionately fulfilled by it. It encourages me. It keeps me in the right. I have my sights set right. There, that's what I'm. It's just my only focus. I have to have that as my only focus. Otherwise, Satan is masterful at pulling us all astray. Masterful at it. So when I'm out of line, I know I'm unaligned with the Word of God. And it is my strength to realign me. It's my call to encourage myself back. It's my choice to reevaluate my priorities. It's my goal to reevaluate my timeline. It's my choice to look at where the tension in my life is. It's my choice to claim the joy of Jesus. It's my choice to reevaluate my trust in him, my love for him, my longing for him, and that my priority is either in the now, that I want peace and promise now, today. I want to be comfortable. I want things to go well. I want people to like me. Or I realize that my true promise is in eternity. And that whatever I have to walk out now that strengthens my genuineness of faith is worth it. It's worth it. So that when I get to eternity, I will at least have been able to say, I tried to walk a worthy walk. I tried. We will all fail. We are human. We are sinful creatures. And it does not come naturally to us to love the Lord our God with everything we have. That does not come naturally to us. We were born sinful creatures. We were born with sinful desires. As a baby, they want, they need, they want, they need. They cry, they want, they need. As toddlers, they want, they need. You set parameters, they cry, they want, they need, they don't understand. As children, adolescents, middle age, older, it's the same song, just different verses. We want, we need, we cry, we clamor, we desire, we don't understand, we don't want parameters, we push against any type of a control over our situations, but then we scream out, God, where are you? And he's like, I'm in control of this situation, and I'm trying to develop and grow you and prepare you and use you, because I am a God who is holy, loving, good, just, and merciful, and I'm giving you what you don't deserve, and I'm not giving you what you do deserve, and everything is aligned with my holiness for you. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever doubt that. So today, being a merciful God is amazing. And that sounds so marvelous, but it still comes with the expectation that we have a role to play in that. We have God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, and he is holy and he is good, but he is just. Let's look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33, starting with verse 12. Moses sees the Lord's glory. One day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land. But you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, then let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Now, how many of us have ever wanted to say what Moses just said, or how many of us have said it? That, I want to know your will and then I'll do it. And I want your favor on me, but would you please tell me? And the Lord replies, I will personally go with you, Moses. I will give you rest, and everything will be fine for you. So I think some of us, and I have been there, where I've wanted God to just like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Would you please just tell me? If you just tell me, I do it. And will you show me? Will you send me a sign? And he's saying, I am here. I am here. I am personally here with you, Paulette. I am your sign. No, you can't conjure up with a ask of me. Just always a easy, here it is, like here's a script or here's the flashing lights, or I'm not going to give you anything to challenge you. No, that's not what's going to happen, Paulette. But I am here. Am I enough? I am here. And I'm offering you rest. And are you choosing to rest in me? Or are you the one that's choosing turmoil? Are you the one that's causing anxiety? Because I'm not. I'm a God of peace and love and mercy. So in this Exodus, it makes me realize that God is merciful And his mercy is free. We're never going to get a bill. We're never going to be asked to repay him back for the mercy he gave us. But he does ask us for something. He does ask us to love him, fear him, read his word, obey his word, trust him, remain faithful, offer grace to others, be passionate, be holy. He does ask us for things right now that we can do that will only bring us more peace and joy. He's not asking it for no purpose. He's asking it because the more we walk in the ways of Christ, the more blessing we are going to receive while we're here on earth. So the next time you're tempted to doubt, I ask you to stop and just reframe it. Just reframe it like in 1 Peter, that God has an inheritance for you that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, but it's kept in heaven for you. And by his power, he's guarding it. And all he is asking is that you live fully in hope, awaiting by your conduct to be holy for that inheritance to be given to you. That's all it is. A quick little funny. We went up over spring break a couple weeks ago to Nebraska, and I went ahead and took my granddaughter Loretta's Easter present with us. Well, right away, Mickey, he came over for a sleepover before we left, and he saw a present on the kitchen table. In fact, he saw two. One was from my mother, who we call Nana, and then one was from me. And so he says, "Lolly, are those for me?" I said, "No, those are both for baby Letty." And he's like, "Why does she get presents and I don't?" And I said, "Well, they're Easter presents, and we want to make sure we take them up there before Easter because we won't see her again. And your Easter presents, you'll get at Easter." And he said, "Where are they?" I said, "Well, I don't know about Nana's present, but I already have yours." He's like, "Oh, I bet I can find it." So he runs into our master bedroom closet and he looks up high on the shelves where, he's right, is often where I keep presents or birthday presents or upcoming, even like baby shower gifts. So he always sees things up there. And he's like, "Lolly, I don't see anything." I said, "Well, here's the deal, Mickey. I have bought it and I am keeping it, and no one's going to play with it or get it before you get it. I've guarded it, but I'm not going to tell you where it is." He's like, "Will you tell me what it is?" I said, "No, I'm not going to tell you what it is." He said, "I bet it's a battleship." And I said, "It might be." He said, "Is it a battleship?" I said, "I'm not going to tell you." And he's like, "I bet it's in the attic." I said, "It might be." He said, "Well, I'm going to see if Pop-Pops will get the ladder down, and I'm going to go up in the attic and find it." All right, does that sound familiar to you about what we try to do with God? We know we have an inheritance. We know he's keeping guard of it. We have faith that it will happen, but then we're running around scrambling and trying to find it now. And we're like, "Why won't you tell us more? Why won't you give us hints? Why won't you make life easier? Why won't you just show me the blessings and all the abundant things you have for me later now? Why can't I have it now? I see somebody else's gift. Where's mine? When do I get it? Why am I waiting?" We do the very same thing, even though we know it's coming. We're just so selfish. We are just all so selfish. And God knows that. All he wants is for us to realize he is enough. We are enough if we just submit and surrender to him. So my choice, I want you to have your own choice, but my choice is I decided and am continuing to decide that I control my own level of joy and peace and faith and trust. Satan wants to control us with chaos and anxiety and fear and depression, and I hold the key to which way I turn that lock. And I have made the choice. That is not the walk I'm going to walk. That is not the life God has for me. That is not the promise
His word holds. And so I get to choose. I want you all to choose. Your God is holy, loving, good, just, and merciful, and He wants your life to look peaceful, faithful, and abundant, so others want to know the God you know. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just continue to help me and anyone listening to realize that we have the choice. We hold the key because you sent your Son to die for it. He died on the cross for fear, for depression, for anxiety, for discourse, for chaos. You and your Holy Spirit within us lead us to peace, joy, faithfulness, trust, abundance. You lead us to holiness, grace. You lead us to be gracious and merciful and good and loving. You lead us to trust you explicitly, to know that you have the amazing gift of our inheritance and you have guarded it. And you're just asking us to receive the trials that we receive of various kinds and let it just prove our faith even more genuine. That we lead others to you as we go through it. That we realize that everything you do aligns with your holiness for your kingdom, and that you are just inviting us to walk it out with you. Lord, we love you so. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. And it's in His name I pray. Amen.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.